Well, hello everyone. I am Billy Dees, and I'm coming at you today for HO Press, Shorehouse Books, Corner Office Books, and Humor Outcast Radio. What we are going to do today is we are going to talk to Jenny Simon, and she is the author of the book, Getting Started in Freelance Writing. Now, she is on the phone. How are you doing today, Jenny?
I'm doing just fine today, Billy. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing really, really good. I'm really excited about talking to you about this because I've dabbled in this. I don't know that I've done it real seriously, but I have dabbled in it, so I'm very interested in your topic today. Just to let, what part of the world are you from? Where are you located at?
I'm located outside of Philadelphia, about 15 miles west. I've lived here in this area most of my life, except for a short stint in Massachusetts during school.
Is that when you became interested in becoming a writer? Is that how you got kind of involved in it?
Actually, no. I started, as a kid, I always wanted to write. I didn't call it freelance writing because I didn't know that. I wanted to do creative writing. I probably wanted to write the great American novel.
Okay.
As many people did. But as I got older and life kind of got in the way, I went and I got an MBA in marketing from Temple University.
Oh.
And I began becoming interested in business communications. So I started working at a direct mail company and still wanted to write. So I started writing articles for a local business publication and ended up doing so many for them that I had two different aliases because I couldn't write the whole magazine.
Right.
And then I went from there and started writing for a few different other publications in the area. Eventually, I realized that nobody's going to make a living doing that.
Okay.
Even then, and it's worse now. So I decided to try to write the same article, but on behalf of businesses and for clients, because they pay a lot more than the publication.
Okay.
Unless, of course, we're talking about Reader's Digest, but that's probably another podcast.
Okay. Well, that's interesting because that's one of the things I was going to ask you about in relation to marketing and everything. I spend a fair amount of time on LinkedIn, and that's actually been a pretty good tool for me. And I have noticed that freelancing is kind of one of those terms that people kind of just kind of stick on their profile a lot, kind of like marketing gurus and things like that.
Right.
And what exactly is freelancing? I mean, what does that entail?
To me, it's a way of life. Hopefully, it's a way to make a living.
Okay.
All wrapped up into one. It's running a small business and everything that entails, from bookkeeping to marketing. And it's a license to indulge your curiosity, which I find fascinating. To many, and I found this with some of the students in some of my classes, they interpret it to include short stories and poetry. For my purposes, it's nonfiction, it's articles, it's marketing material. It's working for companies and publications to, in a nonfiction way.
Okay. What are some of the traits, I guess, or some of the talents? Well, if you're interested in doing something like this, and they always say you should love what you do. I don't know if that's always possible. But in that spirit, what kind of talents should you have that you can turn into something on behalf of other people and create this information?
I think you have to have a natural curiosity, because the term write what you know will not help you make a living in the freelance world. You have to learn what you write. So you have to have a natural curiosity about things. You have to be self-motivating.
Right.
Most freelancers work at home. That can be really tough.
Yes.
There's kids, there's dogs, there's laundry, there's dinner. There's all kinds of things that are distracting. And it can be tough to force yourself to sit down and get your work done.
Yes.
You have to be able to stick to deadlines. Even though you might be able to structure your own time, editors and other people that you write for are on deadlines.
Yes.
So you have to be able to structure time. Even if you go out for the afternoon shopping, you need to come back and get your work done that night. You have to be able to enjoy research, because you are not going to be the expert in everything you write about, if anything.
Yes.
So you're going to have to be able to do research and enjoy talking to other people and learning. Do you enjoy working with people with different personalities? Just like in a company, there are a lot of different kinds of people out there. And as a freelancer, you're going to be working with a lot of them.
Yes.
You have to be organized. You're going to have multiple deadlines. You need to be able to set priorities. Are you ready to tackle the business aspects of freelancing? I mean, people, it can be a romantic kind of thing, but the fact is you have to keep books. You have to market yourself.
Yeah.
You have to talk to the accountant. You have to do all those things that a small business, that's entailed in a small business. Are you a goal setter? There are peaks and valleys to every business. More so, I think, in freelancing. So you have to be able to look up and go, okay, I don't have a lot coming down the pipeline. I'm going to send out 10 emails this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to send out 10 queries because you have to be able to keep that pipeline going.
Yes.
Can you financially support yourself through those peaks and valleys, especially at the beginning? That's important. And can you work on your own? A lot of people have a hard time sitting by themselves and being productive and happy. It
yes.
works well for others, but you have to kind of know yourself.
Yes.
So that's how I see, you know, the personalities involved.
Well, anytime, in my opinion, anytime you work on your own, you know, work out of your home or what have you, you do lose the social aspect of work. I mean,
right.
If you go to a job, you know, you get your morning coffee, you say hi to everybody, and that can be sort of an environment that helps you. But when you work for yourself, I mean, you have to find that motivation. You have to find that thing on your own. Now, something I have done is I've kind of put my workspace away from the living environment, so I actually have to go somewhere. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I that works for me. I don't know if it works for everyone, but
I don't know either. You know, coffee shops work for other people.
Yes.
Going to the library and working. The thing, if you're working for a company, even if you're working at home, you have a community.
Yes.
With freelancing, that's not always the case. So, you know, some people do like to go to a coffee shop or wherever where there's other activity and other people around.
Okay.
There are small business incubators or offices where you can rent space. And, you know, it's going to take a big chunk out of your income, especially at the beginning, but it's an option.
Right. You know, interesting, you mentioned marketing, and that's something that has really, really changed. And a lot of people get that term kind of, they put it on the same level as advertising, and it's somewhat of a different compartment. How do you think that the profession of freelancing has changed along with the marketing aspects or so in the last decade or so? And that certainly has to bring in what's happening online.
Absolutely. I think there are a lot of ways it's changed. When I started, I wrote directly for the publications, as I mentioned. There are actually, almost counterintuitively, more opportunities in publications because they have smaller staffs,
mm-hmm.
and they need to get the content. Plus, there's all the online publications and blogs that you can write for. At the same time, you're going to make less money doing it.
Okay.
The same budget cuts in a publication that have forced them to fire people or to cut back on their staff also forces them to cut back on their freelance budgets.
Okay.
So one of the options is to do what I did, and you kind of move into the business end, and you do the same article on, for example, database marketing. Instead of writing the article directly to the publication, you go to a company that does database marketing and say, I can write this article and I can place it for you. With a small caveat, you can't guarantee that you're going to place it, but once you get going, you'll have a pretty good feel for it. The companies have smaller staff than they used to, but their budgets for freelancing, at least in my experience, have not been cut back all that much.
Okay.
So you can make more money that way.
Okay. Well, let me try to get this across to the audience too, and correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, please, by all means, tell me. But my impression that from the way you're talking, that this fits into someone's overall content marketing strategy, let's say a company. And just in a very brief and maybe too brief of a nutshell, what content marketing is the idea that you're going to put useful information online. And when people go about researching something, especially if it's a large capital investment of some kind or whatever, they're going to find that information. And that useful information is going to, let's say, build a bridge of trust between them and the company that they might potentially contact for more information about the service. Is that a good way of describing what freelancers are doing now on behalf of companies?
I think it's a great way of explaining it. I like the fact that you used the word useful, because there is a ton of information out there, that is not only inaccurate, but certainly not useful.
Right.
I do a lot of public relations work, so I do a lot of press releases and articles. And one of the things I say to people, you know, they say, well, do you know people at this magazine? Well, yes and no. I don't know them personally, but I know what their readers want. And if you give a magazine or your customers or the newsletter reader good, useful information, there will be a place for you.
Okay.
And that will help. It adds to credibility for the company, as you said. And it's very important. And content marketing, it's a big buzzword right now.
Right.
And really what it is a dissemination of information. And I'm not sure that's all that new. But we have new channels.
Yes.
Including online.
Right. And that's kind of what leads me into my next question. Being that, you know, what I always tell people when it comes to having access to things online, the good news is that those channels are more accessible now than they ever have been before, and the bad news is it's everybody's doing it. Everybody has access to it. So the fields for just about anything that you want to do online are just so crowded. So is there an issue with things becoming overcrowded? How do you stand out from the crowd?
You mean as a writer?
Yes.
Or how do you make your content stand out?
Either one. My point was, generally speaking, anything you want to do online, you're going to be competing with a lot of other people. And obviously, in this case, we're talking about freelancing. We're talking about content marketing. So if you're marketing yourself, what would be one of the things that you would want to present to a potential client that makes you stand out from the rest?
Okay, there's a couple things. You have to do your homework. As I said, you know, you're not an expert in everything, if anything. So when you go to a company, you have to understand who they are and what they do and what their goals might be and who they're trying to reach. If you go in and try and pitch your writing capabilities, as good a writer as you may or may not be, if you don't have that information, you're unlikely to get hired because they don't have the time for a learning curve. They will do some of it, but you have to have a starting point. You have to show some interest. So that's one way, because truthfully, a lot of people don't do that.
Yes.
Secondly, and this is a little bit contradictory to what I said, if you can develop a niche, for example, one of mine is in marketing and insurance.
Okay.
You get to know the publications. And you get to know the editors. And it's nice when you can say, such and such an editor will call me back. So if you have a content niche, an industry niche, that can be really helpful as well. In terms of making your stuff stand out, you know, some of the basics, like good writing, especially when you're trying to pitch an article, it's really useful.
Okay.
You want to have different tools in your toolbox. So you want to say to somebody, okay, we can do an article on this and probably place it in that publication, but you know what else we can do? We can take that same topic and pitch it to an upcoming conference. Or maybe somebody wrote a book.
Right.
Well, you can place a lot of articles out of one book. So you want to get multiple uses out of a particular piece of content.
Okay.
Companies like that a lot.
That makes sense.
Because it's less work for them.
Right.
I used to do a lot of work for attorneys. So they do a PowerPoint as a presentation for a potential client. to get an article out of it, if not two.
Mm-hmm.
We could do a newsletter article. We could pitch a conference. It's repurposing, and that helps everybody save money. It's easy, not easy, but it's a different process for the writer,
right,
and you still make money.
I mentioned LinkedIn before, and
right,
I'm not necessarily touting that, but what I have done is I've gotten involved in some of these local business networking groups.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're kind of, I'm not sure, how, you mentioned Philadelphia. That's a pretty large metropolitan area. Have you found any value in some of these business networking groups and some of these things that might be specific to content marketing or freelance writing? Has that worked for you at all?
I haven't done a lot of it. For me, because I was in marketing, I would join the Philadelphia Direct Marketing Association, for example. So industry-specific groups I have found to be useful.
Okay.
Regional and local chambers tend to have smaller companies. Now, I know someone who's built a really good business based on marketing for small companies.
Right.
That's not been my area of choice because I've been doing this almost 30 years, and I was very, very fortunate. One of my first and biggest clients for almost 20 years was one of the largest players in direct marketing.
Okay.
And so when you do work for them, it's kind of easy to get around, and you kind of get to know people. But as I said, depending on what you want to do, I know people who have had good luck with those networking groups.
Yes. Yeah, it depends. I have gotten, I would say, some business from it. But in my opinion, what the value has been is just learning what other people are doing. It gives you ideas maybe that you can borrow from or expand upon for yourself. And I think being in that environment, it can give you a little bit of, like we talked about earlier, that social boost, that little bit of energy.
Right.
But how well it's going to, you know, directly to relate to new business, it really depends on your situation and what the luck of the situation is.
And it depends on the person.
Right.
I mean, if you go to one of these meetings and you sit there, or you stand up against a wall and you don't go meet people, that's obviously not going to work.
Right.
So you really have to be willing to put yourself out there, I think, in those situations. And one of the things that worked well for me is to try and get a speaking engagement. So if it's a local chamber of commerce, you probably have to join, and there's costs involved, but they're typically not too high.
Right.
And they like having speakers.
Yes.
So you could speak on PR, or you could speak on marketing, or you could, whatever it is, but that sets you up as a credible source.
Okay.
And that can be very useful.
Sure. In this aspect of freelancing as a business,
mm-hmm.
if let's say as a hobby, you know, there's been people who have put their toes in the water and tried it out, and maybe it's turned into a sideline. Maybe they're, you know, supplementing whatever it is they do full time with some freelance writing.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in that situation, when do you start to get to the point where, okay, for this to be any more fruitful, I'm really going to have to do it full time? Is there an indicator that, you know, in terms of how you're getting business, that to be productive at it, you're going to have to get more time in it, or I'm just going to have to be happy with it being a sideline or a hobby? Is there a tipping point there?
I started out with a full-time job when I started writing.
Mm-hmm.
So I was writing at night. And that worked for a while. Is there a tipping point? I don't like to say this, but I think it has to be financial.
Yes.
It has to be when you look up and say, okay, I am turning down work.
Yes.
Good work that I could be making a living at. There also has to be that tipping point going, well, I'm not going to make 100% of what I want right away, but I can support myself.
Yes.
Or my circumstances are such that I'm not going to starve in between then and now. I don't know. I think it really has a lot to do with when you start turning down business that you would really like to be able to do. And you start seeing new opportunities in the way you're conducting your business.
Yes.
That you're not able to take advantage of.
Right.
So
the book
yeah,
is,
I think
go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think that's what happened with me.
Okay.
My life had changed a little bit. Circumstances were different. And then it just made sense at that moment.
Okay. That's probably true of a lot of people who want to get started out in any kind of a business on their own. And that can be a very hard, scary thing to do. You know, a lot of people have worked for another company for many, many years. And you can say what you want about a lot of times people say, well, I'm beholden to the company that I work for. And in a lot of respects, that's true. But you also have a certain amount of security in working for someone else. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. And to walk away from that, it can be a very scary experience.
Well, two things about that. One is, it's different than 30 years ago. Loyalty to a company, in my mind, means doing the best job you can while you're there.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you have to stay there the rest of your life. I don't think it means that to people anymore. I don't think it means it to companies anymore.
No, you're right.
And plus, one of the best ways to get business, I'm going to assume that most people who are interested in freelance writing have some background in marketing or communications.
Yes.
And often you can go back, right back to the company that you just left and say, I'd love to come back as a consultant or a contractor. I'd like to continue doing some of this work just on an independent basis. And often what happens with companies, they have somebody they don't have to train, they don't have to pay benefits, and it's cheaper for them.
Yes.
So that works really well for a lot of people.
That's an interesting point. That's a really good, interesting point. Now, the book is entitled Getting Started in Freelance Writing. And where is the book available? Where can people find it?
People can get it on Amazon.
Okay.
And, well, we have it in one or two local bookstores. But in general, Amazon is your best bet.
Okay, and we should probably tell people that if they're searching this book out, it's by Jenny Simon, but you spell your name with a G. G-I-N-N-Y. Go ahead.
That's right. That's right.
G-I-N-N-Y Simon, Jenny Simon, and you're the author, and the book is entitled Getting Started in Freelance Writing.
That's right.
Very good. You know what? This has been really good. There's a lot of good information in what you said here today, and for people that are, you know, interested in taking this to the next level, I would definitely pursue checking out the book. Here again, I'm going to rattle off the publishers here. We have HO Press, Shorehouse Books, and Corner Office Books, all of which are affiliated. And this is under Corner Office Books. Is that correct?
That's correct.
It's under that umbrella. Okay. Well, on behalf of Humor Outcast Radio, Jenny, I really want to thank you for this information. I do believe there's some real good nuts and bolts information here. Jenny, thank you very, very much.
Well, I hope so, and thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. Once again, I am Billy Dees on behalf of Humor Outcast Radio. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great day.